Are we ready?
Yes.
Am I pushing?
Yes. Push.
The following presentation is for mature audiences only.
It
is not intended for children.
We're in trouble.
What are we doing here?
Evacuate.
I don't know. I'm listening. What are we doing here?
This project is extremely dangerous.
I was drinking water.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat,
hello,
the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
Hey,
what's
up?
Another two horrible impressions at the same time. We're masters of mimicry, Carol. Masters of mimicry.
Damn right they shot first.
Betcha.
The hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
We're back for episode 128. Crystal, how was Phil? Did he behave in the garage overnight?
We actually cuddled all night long.
Oh, he is a cuddly chap.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good thing you didn't come on Valentine's Day.
Awkward!
Just a little competition, that's all.
He's always better on New Sponge Day.
Anyway, it was really fresh, yeah.
Speaking of fresh and clean, we're going to try something a little bit different this time.
We're just going to
stay on topic for a little bit.
Oh, shit. All right. We'll try our best.
So first of all, Crystal, thank you. Crystal's from NOAA's event venue, and your facility is hosting your first event on April Fool's Day.
Yes, we are.
Or are you? I don't know.
You know, a friend of the podcast, Sonia, my maid of honor at my wedding, had her wedding on April Fool's Day because she figured something always goes wrong. Better to have it
embraced.
Be part of it the day. I will say the funniest part was the fact that they decided that they were going to have for their ring bearer flower girl stuffed teddy bears. It was part of their nicknames, not for themselves, but online or something. So they decided to do a remote control little Jeep with them in there, and it was adorable. But the groomsmen kept having to practice, and you can't see it because we're on audio, but it's air quotes around the word practice. So in the middle of that's our air quote symbol.
Air quotes.
That halfway down the aisle, the battery died.
Oh, no.
And so then one of the groomsmen had to go down, try to bend over in his tux, pick it up, and take it the rest of the way. So, of course, I sang a song, and the venue was not as gorgeous or as multi-versatile as Noah's.
Nice point.
And so they had these floor-to-ceiling, like, drapey, see-through drapey things going on. And so the place where I had to sing was on the other side, but I was the maid of honor, so I had to come back through, and there was no split in the drape, so it was like trying to pull those veils over my head to get back in. It was just
a mess.
Yeah, April Fool's Day, definitely the day start. But thank you so much for joining us again. And they can go to Noah's, is it noahscharlotte.com or noahscharlotte.com?
Noah's with an S.
With an S, but noahscharlotte.com. And see the amazing venue. We're so excited about being there. So, but anyway, now to get back on the topic that I said we were going to stay on topic about.
And we didn't.
Let's talk about television.
And lots of zombies.
And lots of zombies.
Yeah, I'm looking at this besides Tim there.
Before Tim lists. No typos in our podcast. No, not whatsoever.
I did this quickly.
You did it on purpose.
What did Tim ever do to us? That's what I wanted to know.
Who is Tim?
So you were the one watching the Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah, I on a whim, I started watching Santa Clarita Diet. Season one is on Netflix. It's 10 episodes. They're half an hour each. So I, of course, finished the entire season that night because it's really, really funny.
I watched the first one.
You did.
Heavy vomit. You would not make it. You would not make it.
That's the only episode with the heavy, heavy. Well,
yeah,
there's a brief look at other heavy vomit, but it's just that one.
Yeah.
Full projectile.
Yeah,
vomit.
See, I'm not the horror girl.
No, I wouldn't make it at all.
And this does get a little gross. It does get a little gross.
A little gross.
A lot gross.
It starts with that.
Yeah.
It's like SNL when they have the vomit that never stops and times
Team,
a million.
Team America.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
That would be a good diet for me. I wouldn't eat for hours.
Spoiler alert, vomit. Okay.
The gist of the show is that Drew Barrymore and Tim Oliphant star as this couple of realtors, And for some reason, and we're not quite sure yet why, she just, during a house showing, vomits everywhere and dies. But then she comes back and she is, of course, a zombie at this point. And she starts by trying to stick with raw meat. But once she has a bite of a coworker, the raw hamburger's just not going to do it anymore. So the entire season revolves around this couple who really, truly do love each other. And he wants, you know, her husband wants to help her. And so they're trying to kill bad people rather than just anybody. They're trying to find bad people to kill so she can eat them.
Oh my god!
And they have a teenage daughter, and they get help from the geeky next door neighbor who actually knows what zombies are. But you don't quite know why she turns into a zombie.
They haven't gotten to that yet.
Yeah, there is a Romanian folklore that comes into play here.
Oh my god.
It's actually really funny.
The titles for the episodes are, just look at those are hysterical.
It's actually really funny. I'm not a huge Drew Barrymore fan, and she's probably...
Oh, I am. Huge. Sorry.
She's probably...
Save that for later.
Yes, hon.
The worst thing about the show, but even she's really good. Tim Olyphant as her husband is just hysterical.
What are some other things that he was in?
Justified.
Okay.
If you watch horror movies, he was also in The Crazies. But Justified is what he's most known for. But he's just hysterical.
Yeah, to see him after Justified, kind of a badass role to this
is
he really has depth. I mean, he really can morph into any character. So, and Drew Barrymore is not doing her usual thing.
No,
that SNL kind of made fun of her for. She's just a realtor.
Yeah, she's just a real estate agent. And mom, she's trying to
zombie.
You know,
yeah.
The fact that she becomes a zombie and that kind of makes her id go crazy. So she's just doing whatever she feels like doing at this point. Nathan Fillion shows up for the first episode.
Yeah.
It's a really fun show, and it goes very, very quickly. There's only 10 episodes. They're half an hour each, so I stayed up till midnight and just watched the whole damn season.
So therefore, it's not timeless.
No, it's not Timless
either. It's not Timless. Well, actually, this episode had no Tim, so it is indeed Timless, but it's named Timeless. So it's a time, I've been talking about this all year, I guess, but it's a time travel show, and this is the season finale. And at this point, NBC has not decided. They're not going to decide until May if any of the shows will be coming back. So right now, it could be the series finale as well, which...
I hate it when they do
that. Yeah, they actually tried to wrap things up. But then at the very end...
they left some wiggle room.
Lucy, our heroine, she goes to her mom and tells her this fantastic story of, hey... Her whole thing is she's been traveling in time, but her sister ceased to exist after her first jump. So she has one more mission to go and try to get her sister back. She goes to her mom and just like spills a bean because she thinks she's absolutely nuts because she'll disappear, you know, for days once she goes on these jaunts. And she's like, I'm just going to tell my mom. So she tells her mom, and her mom goes, and there's this whole conspiracy theory, and her mom goes, oh. Well, you're Rittenhouse royalty, which is like this big conspiracy thing. So all of a sudden, Lucy is just having that moment of like, my mom's a fucking bad guy. Oh, shit. And that's how they kind of end it. Like, Lucy just being floored. And it's like, oh, no. So if there's no season two, it sucks. Because it's just like, will she get her sister back?
Yeah.
It's absolutely bonkers. But yeah, it was a good series. And
hopefully it'll be back.
The ratings went down like a lot of these things do, but I just don't know anymore because I've been reading so much because of the afterlife online and on demand and all that stuff. It's like
the ratings really don't. I don't know how ratings play anymore because so many people don't watch the show.
But that could be why they wait so long to decide whether they're going to renew or not because people watch things on Netflix or DVR or Hulu or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just a different timestamp than it used to be.
And it's why they're showing complete seasons rather than pulling it halfway through the season because it's getting crap ratings like they did Firefly.
Yeah. And Timeless, NBC ordered 3 extra shows even though the ratings were going down to hit 16. So I think that's a good sign. They're supposed to just be, you know, 13 shows. So we'll see. Hopefully they'll come back, or if not, maybe Netflix will pick them up, or Hulu's been playing them, you know, the week or the day after. So who knows? Maybe Hulu could come on, because they're doing a lot of original stuff now too, yeah. which is pretty interesting. But
so yeah. I have some news that's not on here, but I'm very excited to share it. Speaking of not knowing whether things come back, I talked about, you know, my dancing shows. And So You Think You Can Dance, as we talked about on the season last year, despite your many objections.
Many.
I saw on one of the Fox shows last night that they were running a promo about signing up for possible auditions. And so I went online to the website. And because one of the dates was like by February 19th, and yesterday was the 20th. And I'm like, well, that's unfortunate. Not that I was going to dance, but timing. And having been in radio television, I know that some production person
did not pull the spot.
But the it also said if for the LA auditions, you have to do it by March like 4th or 8th or something like that. So I went on, and that's just... not to fly to the auditions, but to submit your video to be considered to try out for the auditions. So, I read the rules, and it is 18 to 30, so it's not going to be kids like last time. But they are keeping some of the elements, so instead of 20 dancers, like they've done in some seasons, it's going to be the top 10 paired with a pro. So, it's coming back. It's my one really, you know, dance shows are my one, like, non-sci-fi passion that I kind of have to watch. In my head, I'm a dancer. Curse these lederhosen feet. But, you know, it's lederhosen disease is what my feet are called. But I keep calling it lederhosen. But, you know, I used to dance. I actually have a picture of me dressed up as a bumblebee from a Winnie the Pooh thing when I was 6.
Were you that bumblebee girl in that video?
No, blind melon. But when it came out, I almost wished my costume still fit. So.
Oh boy! I have to tell you, watching my favorite thing, like I'll watch these, I'll walk in and Joey's watching, Kitty Geekier's watching these shows, dance shows, and I have no interest whatsoever.
Unless there's
a celebrity, but. The thing that gets me is watching Joey watch the show, and she's like bobbing her head, and her toes tapping, and she's kind of she starts moving on the sofa and stuff, and I'm like, I just picture her dancing, and it just makes me so happy.
And then I get
so
excited
and,
when people do well. I get really...
Yeah, and she tears up.
I earn my giddy.
I am the opposite. I watch dance shows the way I watch ice skating. Always ready for someone to fall. You're like, oh, they stuck it. Dang it.
So anyway, so that is that. And along with that, I will mention that another exciting thing for me was that the iZombie premiere date is March 4th, which is only a week away.
Wow.
And I, for some reason, thought I was a season behind. Because, you know, like, they always release the seasons for the CW. Right when the other one's about to start. And you're always... because they want you to spend that money on Amazon Prime. But because iZombie's seasons were so far apart, they went ahead and released season 2, and this is the start of season 3. So,
great.
So you still have a week to binge watch it. And iZombie, like Santa Clarita,
it's very light
and easy to like watch a bunch, unlike Daredevil or Luke Cage, where you kind of have
to need that chaser.
Like non-blood for a little bit.
Can we do something without somebody's head getting bashed in the door?
Can we watch Sesame Street?
Speaking of heads being bashed in, Negan, Walking Dead.
No Negan this week, but we did meet a new group of people. I've been calling them the Mad Maxians because they talk like the kids from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, and I don't understand why.
I actually had a coworker come up to me because he knows I'm geeky and say, "Do you watch Walking Dead?" And I'm like, "No, but I know people who do." And first of all, I'm like, you know, Carol just loves it. He goes, "I don't know what I'd do without Carol." I'm like, "No, my friend Carol."
Well, Carol on the show is pretty damn awesome.
Yeah. So. I said, but he said, I literally, in the season opener, because he was only on episode 1, he's like, "I laughed the whole time because it was so bad."
This whole group, I don't get it. They're not in the comic book. They live in a junkyard. Rick's group finds them. Well, actually, they kidnap Father Gabriel, and we were hoping they'd keep him, but
please,
they didn't. But Rick's group finds them, and for some reason they just talk weird. They talk, I don't know if anyone's seen Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, but the kids shorten their words, they leave words out, and this lady's like, show Rick the up, up, up. And so they take him on this big hill, and then they push him down into this, like, what the hell?
Maybe the only movie they have on their solar power charger is Mad Max Thunderdome. And they just keep watching it over and over. I don't know.
But they,
maybe
you bring us guns.
Maybe they speak in text speak.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's like, you bring us guns, many food. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking like that?
Because the zombie apocalypse has not been that long.
50 years.
Yeah. It's been only like 3 years. What'd you forget worms for?
Maybe they're from West Virginia.
I don't know. I don't know.
Wow.
But that whole group was just bugging the crap out of me. There was a Carol and Daryl reunion, which I was very happy about. But then Daryl lied to her and did not tell her that Glenn and Abraham had been killed because she's in a very emotional state now, and he's like, I don't want to hurt her. And I think that's going to come back and bite him in the ass because Carol's going to go and kill everybody because that's what Carol does. Mm-hmm. But some really bad CGI too. You can tell they're blowing their budget on the tiger, because man, there was some really bad green screen in that junkyard scene. That was some cringeworthy green screen. That was almost birdemic bad.
And then there was a special cameo by Junkyard Dog.
No, Junkyard Dog.
Dang it! She was my favorite character from the cartoon. So.
It was, this wasn't a great episode, except for Carol and Daryl.
Carol and Daryl.
Carol and Daryl.
Carol and Daryl.
I totally want to do a Newhart thing. This is my brother Daryl, my other sister Carol. All right, so any other TV topics before we move along?
No, I don't think so.
Last Man on Earth is coming back next week. First weekend in March, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it's exciting because then in April, of course, we get Doctor Who in the class.
Yeah,
so I'm very excited about that as well.
Good things coming.
I'm behind on Taboo, behind on a couple of other things. But
can I say something because we are not? So, whenever they mention Taboo, all I know is this like porno series.
And then Tom Hardy starring, and I'm like, really?
Yeah, no, I'm saying that's what serious me.
Did he switch over?
But you do see a lot of naked Tom Hardy in the show, but side views.
Yeah.
They're going legit. Yeah.
But I'm a bit behind on Taboo.
Yeah, so
I'm poking my pen. Sorry,
I'm not behind on that at all. I've seen all the internet can possibly give me.
Speaking of behind, going on to movies. Logan is coming out next weekend.
That's right. I can't wait.
I'm really excited about that.
Getting some really
fantastic reviews. So. And especially for some local people that I have faith in. So I'm like, okay, this is good.
It's his love letter to Logan.
So.
Wolverine. And this is supposedly his last solo project, right?
Well, supposedly the last time he plays Wolverine.
Although he's flirting with, he wants to do something with Deadpool, but I think he should just leave well enough alone.
I think, yeah.
Go out on a high note and just...
Maybe if he does a flashback, like, of a time.
First class? Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to start movies with the Back Alley Film Series.
Okay.
All right.
So Back Alley Film Series is an offshoot of the Charlotte Film Festival, or the Charlotte Film Society. And they were on hiatus for probably about a year.
Due to finding venues.
Yeah, they lost their venue. Back Alley was one that would do a monthly screening, usually of a grindhouse or horror film that didn't quite fit in the Charlotte Film Society. So they got a lot of really weird films. I saw Hobo with a Shotgun there. And Troll Hunter. Hobo with a Shotgun is actually really great.
Trolls 2, which has nothing to do with trolls.
No. So they finally found a venue at C3 Labs. And they came back with a vengeance with a triple feature on Saturday night.
Whoa.
They did three films. Evolution, which was a French film. Very unusual. I really liked this film. It's kind of slow moving. Deals with this strange little village that the first thing you notice is there's no little girls. The second thing you notice is that there's no grown men. It's all just women and young boys. And the women all look kind of similar, and they have a very strange look to them.
Hmm.
And they don't sleep. So the boys do, but the women don't. I don't want to give too much away. It's one of those films that will make you think afterwards because you're not quite sure what the heck went on. You're like, okay, I think I understand that, but I'm not quite sure. And it has some of the creepiest nurses since Silent Hill, although they're not as grotesque. But I really like that one. I give that one a B+. It was very beautifully shot. It's got a really nice score, was well acted. It is French, so you have to read it. The second film they showed was The Love Witch, which was so cheesy. It's totally filmed in Hammer Horror 70s style.
Oh.
With the bright, bright colors in the 70s fashion. And it's so cheesy, but I really kind of liked its cheese. And it's funny. It's about a witch that...
Is it kind of like the Return to the Valley of the Dolls?
It is.
Kind of cheesy? Yeah.
It is. Very much so.
That's what I think of when I think of, like, the bright lights and the clothes. Yeah.
It's about Elaine, who's a witch that specializes in sex magic, and women, or men just... They'll literally die if they can't get her. So, but it went on a bit too long. I will say that it was a bit too long, but it was actually really fun. That one's probably about a B-. That was really fun. The third film is XX or Double X. I'm not sure how exactly they're marketing it, but it's an anthology. All of the films shown that night were done by women, or directed by women, and this was four short films, all done by women, with in between. Animation done by a woman. And that includes The Box, which is a creepy little story about a little boy who's on a subway and sits next to a guy with a box. And of course, he's an inquisitive little boy. What's in the box, mister? So the guy shows him what's in the box and the boy stops eating. And then tells his sister what's in the box and she stops eating. And then tells his dad what's in the box and he stops eating. And they're not sad or horrified or any, they just stop eating. The second short film was Birthday Party, which was done by St. Vincent. I don't know if anyone knows the singer, but that's a very funny one. I don't want to say anything about that. So if you go hunt this one out, this is actually a really good anthology film. The third one was Don't Fall, which is very much a don't go in the desert if you don't know where you're going story.
That's a good rule.
And the fourth one was Her Only Living Son, which is kind of a sequel to Rosemary's Baby.
Uh-huh.
And I recommend XX. I thought that was actually...
So XX is obviously about the double chromosome versus like XY.
Right.
Not like...
Not the Vin Diesel.
Like, no. It's not like... It's not porno. Yeah. Right. There's really... I mean, it's a horror film, but there's not a whole lot of nudity to any of this or anything like that. There is nudity in The Love Witch.
As one would expect.
Good. But, no, all three films, I really enjoyed them, and I'm really glad that Back Alley Films is back.
Awesome. So, I think you saw the other two movies, my friend.
I think I did.
I have not been to the theater this week.
I was in a movie kick. So, I watched Loving at home. This is part of the Oscar... trying to catch up on Oscar movies, and Ruth Negga is nominated for Best Actress for Loving. It's the story of Richard and, her name just totally, he calls her Bean the entire time. Mildred, Richard and Mildred Loving, who were the couple in the 1950s. She's black and he's white, and they go to Washington, D.C. and get married, and then go back to Virginia, where it is illegal for them to be married, and they are actually arrested. Because they're cohabitating together. So they move back to D.C. and they have three kids. And it's a very kind of quiet film. It doesn't go into a whole lot of detail as to the court case. It mostly deals with the couple. Which is one of the things I liked. One of the things I absolutely love about this couple is that they were just a couple that fell in love and wanted to get married. It wasn't, I'm going to change the system. It's, you know, we're married. We just want to live at home, you know, with our families,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it took, I think it was 4 or 5 years, actually longer than that. It was probably closer to 10 for the Supreme Court to actually hear the case and overturn the really stupid law and say that their marriage was legal everywhere.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But it's a good film. It's not really spectacular. It's kind of quiet. I think Ruth Negga does a great job. Joel Edgerton plays Richard, and he's very kind of rednecky, but that's what the character is. So it was a good film.
So it sounds a little bit like Manchester by the Sea, where it's just
not as gut punchy.
Yeah.
But this couple, they have a little bit of hardship because they're away from their family and they're living in D.C. and it's not where they want to raise their kids. But there's not that, they don't add anything to the story, which I really liked.
Yeah.
I know in other tales, other movies they've done of the same
story. They make it much more dramatic.
Right. They add drama to it. They add, situations.
But that takes away credibility.
Right. And this is a very credible film. This is just showing you what it was like and how it happened, so...
And then finally, A Cure for Wellness.
Oh, God, skip this one.
Really?
I really wanted
to... How to be cured for it? Don't go.
Yeah, I really wanted to like this film because it's directed by Gore Verbinski, who did The Ring and Pirates of the Caribbean, the first couple Pirates of the Caribbean. There was a point where I was like, that wasn't a bad film because it's getting terrible reviews. And I was like, that wasn't a bad film. It was, kind of long. Downer ending, but it worked. It's beautifully shot. And then I looked at my phone and realized there was 45 minutes left to the film.
Oh.
I thought it was done. And that was an hour and 45 minutes into the film.
That's scary.
And I still had 45 minutes to go. And I was like, oh, God. And oh, my God, this film is an hour too long. The last hour just falls completely apart. And gets really, really silly and kind of stupid and very predictable. It's a beautiful film because it's filmed in Sweden. It's hard not to be beautiful. Beautiful cinematography. The score is really great. The acting's okay. But man, the story is just bad. This one started at a C+ when I thought it was ending, just sank to a D because I was like. There was another moment where I was like, is that the end? I'm not even going to look at my watch because I don't think that's the end. No, I've still got 20 minutes to go.
Ouch.
It was bad. Skip that one. Skip it.
But maybe don't skip Beauty and the Beast when that comes out.
Oh, yeah. Hey, so they did release a first look trailer of Emma Watson in the live action version of Disney's Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
Similar to the musical and similar to the animated, they are using many of the songs. And it's kind of interesting because Emma Watson, as far as the book Learney Bell, totally can see that. But when have we ever heard Emma Watson sing?
Never.
Huh. See, Crystal's still here, by the way.
Sorry.
No. Just we get all chatty. We get it. But yeah, so they show a clip. It's probably about, a minute long of the song. So you get to see that feel. They really do play a little bit true to the original animation on some of the action scenes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Of course, be played with real people. But they do incorporate a couple little parts that were different, like seeing her raggedy socks and all that kind of stuff. But she's very much, Hermione Granger as Belle.
She is. I can't get that away from Beauty and the Beast. I'm just ready for a wand to come out and for all the plates in China to come to life because of her instead of because of the enchantment. So,
she did sing really well. I mean, I think she sings as well as Emma Stone did some of these others, like Emily Blunt or some of these others and some of these musical numbers that have been coming recently. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely interested in seeing it. I wasn't interested in seeing Cinderella when it became live action. Mm-hmm. Did you see it?
I saw it. And I loved it.
Was it good?
It was fantastic.
I regret not having seen it, but I haven't. It's not something I've made time for. So
I did actually watch The Jungle Book. Which is the
and
live
you said
action?
It was really good.
It was actually really good.
Really good.
Yeah,
I was very surprised. Jungle Book's not my favorite Disney,
no.
by any stretch.
The animated was not my favorite either. Yeah,
And I think that's because I'm not really keen on the book. But the live action was really. I mean, the CG in that
incredible.
Was like incredible.
Was that Jon Favreau the director too? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that probably helped.
Yeah.
They're slowly going through all of them. Disney released a list, I think it was a few months ago, that has a timeline for all of them.
Wow.
So from Snow White to Even The Princess and the Frog, that was more recent.
Wow.
Yeah. They're going to try to do all of them now in live action version.
Whoa. I think they're working on Pinocchio.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought Johnny Depp was Geppetto.
Oh, yes. That would fit
That's
really
correct.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what they're doing after that one.
Steamboat Willie? Go back to the song. That's our... Look, I'm Mickey! All right.
They are leaving the cartoon animals kind of alone. I don't think they're really doing... I don't think they're going to do Robin Hood.
Fox and Hound.
Wow. Fox and Hound. Really
well, they did do that Willard with...
I don't think that was Disney.
That was way awesome.
I don't think that was Disney.
No, Elijah Wood, though.
I'm just saying. Speaking of I don't know, but I'm going to go back on television for just a minute. I did see... Yes!
Right.
One of our favorite actors, and it's kind of a misfit conversation, but Ewan Ryan, who was on Game of Thrones...
Got his face ate off.
Yes. damn it. but they have announced that part of the Marvel's Inhumans, he's going to be Mad Maximus on there.
Oh.
Maximus is a good mad. Guy? So, no, he goes mad a couple of times. So
yeah.
He really needs to find himself a good guy
part. I think it's
part.
Kind of a... I don't know. I was reading on it. I'm not the comic book person.
It's weird to me because Inhumans is like the least popular of all the Marvel like groups. The only thing that really kept them alive was really Fantastic Four, where they kind of debuted. But now, with all the weird stuff that's going on with Marvel and Fox, because Fox mm-hmm. owned the X-Men, they kind of treated the Inhumans like their surrogate X-Men for TV and movies and stuff like that. So now they're kind of stuck with this weird thing where they're going to do the... They're going to premiere the TV show in IMAX theaters.
For two episodes.
Like, play both. And then it goes... Then you transition to TV, which to me is like, let's see it in the most spectacular...
Yeah.
...version we can with 3D glasses probably, too. And then I'm going to watch it at home.
Why wouldn't you do the season finale?
Yeah, that makes much more sense.
Well, they said they're going to have some extended scenes, so like it may be more like an hour and a half in the theater and then expand out to the 2 hours. But
anyway,
I understand. Just glad to see him.
Yeah.
So,
but, I just wanted to play a nice character because, man, Ramsey sucked.
Well,
but he
I
was
think
supposed to.
Part of it was this thing that, you know, there are times that he goes mad. So it sounds like he might be, like, struggling with the demons, kind of like Daisy's father was, you know.
A lot of the Inhumans, because basically what they get the power from are these things called the Terrigen Mist, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has kind of had that coming through the show. That's where the Inhumans have kind of started on, as far as Marvel goes, there on the TV show. But it could be good because I think, Iron Man, not a lot. That wasn't everybody's favorite character when they released that movie.
Or Guardians of the Galaxy.
Or Guardians of the Galaxy, mm-hmm. especially. But it's like Inhumans are even less than that. So it's like they really could have like this surprise hit just because you don't think of somebody has. This has to be Spider-Man. This has to be Captain America. It's like a why. They don't even know what powers they have. I mean, you could do anything and people would be like, oh, okay. So
yeah, well, and it opens up the possibility because you could always find an Inhuman. It's kind of like the Love Boat. There's somebody new on it.
Exciting.
Special Inhuman guest.
That's right. Out of sight.
So let's move on to the miscellaneous portion of our thing as we're quickly evolving out of our topics.
Yeah.
So, Carol and I will be gone this weekend. Try not to miss us too
what?
Much.
What?
Yeah. We're going to party hardy at Mysticon.
That's
yeah,
right.
If you get really sad and lonely, just stare into the mirror and say Candyman 3 times.
Yeah. Oh, he'll be there.
Because Tony Todd will be there. So will Cheryl and Fenn of Twin Peaks.
Yep.
And a gentleman from Babylon 5 is
Jason Carter.
Ooh, who I always want to call him John Carter because, you know.
He was at Con Carolinas a few years ago. But yeah, if you don't have your tickets to Mysticon, you can't get any because they're sold out.
Sucks to be you.
We won't.
This happens every year. It's a very unique convention because they've stayed loyally at the same facility every year, and so that way they cannot grow bigger.
Yeah.
But you know what? They always sell out, so you know that they make their budget.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
But they've scored some amazing guests
over the years. This year is kind of guest heavy. In the media department. Usually they only stick with one media guest, but now we've got three here. Two really good ones, Tony Todd and Sherilyn Fenn. Jason Carter is a very good guest. He hasn't been on anything recently.
Yeah, but, and he's been to a lot of cons. Yeah. So has Tony Todd, too.
But we'll have fun. We'll have a room party for the Geek Gala and
Con Carolina. So if you are going, make sure you check us out.
Friday night. Somewhere.
And then, so heroes aren't hard to find.
They're really
maybe a little bit hard to find for a while.
Yeah, they're going to move to NoDa in the spring. And
they're closing on 7th Street.
Well, that whole street is becoming apartments. So, and I was afraid that was going to happen.
Bizarre has already moved, so.
Yeah, and it's weird because the only thing, like, Crisp is closed down next to them, if you're familiar with that. It was like this really cool salad place. I don't know what happened to it, but the Starbucks is right next to them. Apparently, that's going to stay, and they're going to build this apartment thing over them. It's going to be like one of those mixed things. And Shelton, I guess, was like, you know what? It's been fun. And he actually lives really close to that to the store now. So, but anyway, it's a much larger space, which I think is going to be good in NoDa. And actually, there'll be some parking, which is at a premium in NoDa. But there's basically no parking at their current location, in my perspective. I mean, it's always hard to find a parking space unless you go at night right before they close.
Heroes aren't hard to find parking.
Parking is incredibly hard to find without getting towed.
Yeah,
so I think NoDa thing is going to be good. And it's kind of remind me back. I can't believe they've already been at that 7th Street location for 10 years. I keep thinking of it as the new location, but it's just gone by like that. But
I can't wait to see how they decorate it, because if you've never been inside, Heroes Aren't Hard to Find. They actually have some life-size statues. It's what?
Spider-Man fighting Dr. Octopus. Yeah. And the tentacles go into the counter in the center, and that has all the wiring. Nice. Goes through the...
Yeah.
And his son actually came up with that whole idea of how to do that, but what I'm really excited about is, so what happens right now is it's a narrow store, so they can't fit all their stock in it. So if you want a back issue, which is really the only thing I'm really interested in, and to be quite honestly, can I have the 70s comic issue 12 Star Wars, please?
Yeah.
And I want to look at all three of the different conditions you have. Anyway, I don't know why I'm doing that. But so they have to go back to the warehouse, which is outside. And a lot of times, like, they'll say, can you watch the store? And I'll be like, sure. And I'm just like, I'm not ringing anybody out, but it's like they have to. If they only have one employee. But so the previous store they used to have was in Central Avenue, like Midwood, and it had all the back issues, and you could go through them, and it was just a lot of fun. So I think NoDa is going to have that, and then of course now that they've done some artistic things, those two things combined, I think it's going to be fantastic. So I'm really excited, and we've had Shelton on the podcast a couple times, and I know he'll come back this summer to talk about Heroes Convention, but I'm excited as a geeky person, so.
Yay!
We're moving.
And then, something that, again, not on the list because that's how I roll.
Okay.
Donna Scott Productions, Women Playing Hamlet is going to be opening. It's part of the Charlotte Art League, but I think they're going to be at the McLaughlin Theater for this. It's March 9th to the 25th, and a friend of the podcast, Tanya Kelly, is again in the production along with Donna Scott herself, which we saw this Christmas time. Yes. So very excited about that. It appears to be a mostly female cast. There appears that maybe there is one woman playing Hamlet that's not a woman, but that's okay. We know it's going to be great.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Be listening for future episodes where we'll be reviewing that, because Carol has already told me she would go with me.
Yay.
So yay. Love that. Okay. And
I'm a Shakespeare junkie.
That's yes. Right. Let's go to Star Wars.
Star Wars. So they're going to film a Han Solo movie.
It's a solo project.
That's right. It will be a trilogy, though. I wish it was just gonna be a one off, but no. But if it's good, it's good. But they have a new Chewbacca.
If it's bad, it's still good.
Yeah, they have a new actor playing Chewbacca. He was the stunt Chewbacca for Peter Mayhew, but he's the Chewbacca now, and I forget his name. I think Carol's looking him up, but he's an ex NBA star. For the height, and it just Peter Mayhew can barely get around when you see him at Dragon Con.
Yeah, he had hip replacement, but he's still up there in age. Mm-hmm. So
he will be in the next He was in Force Awakens.
He'll be in 8.
But he'll be in 8, and then that's it, I think, is what it sounds like from now. But the picture is awesome because it's all the cast, not dressed up, but except for Chewbacca, in the Millennium Falcon cockpit. And so there's Woody Harrelson. It is just awesome. And then Donald Glover, of course.
Alden.
Awesome.
Ehrenreich plays Han Solo. Yeah. Thandi Newton. I don't think she's actually in the picture, but she's signed.
Right.
And then Junis Sutamo.
Yeah,
is Chewbacca.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But the costume looks
and
good,
I love the photo on his
that's
the mobile Wikipedia page is just basically
his shorts.
His shorts.
Those long basketball
they
shorts.
They couldn't fit him into the mobile app photo. Sorry.
He's 6'10", so.
Wow.
They may actually have to put a little bit of lift on him, isn't
yeah.
Peter Mayhew like
7'2"?
Yeah.
Yeah.
6'10", that's not tall for him.
Well, they give him 3-inch lifts, he's going to be.
Okay. Have you seen that picture that was, did we post that on the Geekery? It was Arnold Schwarzenegger standing next to Andre the Giant and
Will Chamberlain.
Yes.
It's from the old days when the Conan the Barbarian movies were shooting.
Because here is Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's 6'2", 6'3", and he looks like a shrimp. And then Andre the Giant, who is supposedly like 7 foot something, is shorter than Will Chamberlain, who's also 7 foot something. So, but anyway, it was just interesting to me think of that. But definitely, we love Peter Mayhew though. And when posted about one of my foster puppies, he actually commented and shared it. So he's a good guy. So what's this woolly mammoth stuff?
So this kind of goes definitely miscellaneous, but I guess the science category. So they've started it. They're going to clone basically a woolly mammoth.
Did no one watch Jurassic Park?
Yeah, combine it with elephant DNA because that's the closest descendant relative of the woolly mammoth, and they're going to bring it back from extinction. And it's like within 5 years right now because they've got all the genes sequenced and they're ready. But so they're going to put what they do is it's not like a clone where like if it's not like you clone a person. And they like have all the same memories. It's not. It's they grow it in an embryo and it grows up and it's its own thing. But that's just scary to me. And then somebody was saying, well, like, why don't they just save like the endangered species by doing that then? I mean, because those are alive. You know what I mean?
But you could actually still save them because they are alive. And your goal is to actually save them in their natural habitat.
Right.
This, I mean.
It's an extinct, but they found many of these, and it was always like in the Scooby-Doo cartoons and stuff where they find a woolly mammoth completely in ice, or Flintstones, and they chip it, and it like, it's just alive. I just been on ice, ready to go. It's like, no. But it's like they have enough DNA, which is very Jurassic Park-y. But it's
kind of kept on ice. But anyway.
But it's very scary, and it to me, it really is. I mean, because it's...
Because they haven't watched Jurassic Park.
Yeah, they don't know what they're... They can control it, but I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's just weird.
Life finds a way.
They can just call Chris Pratt. He seems
there
to
you
have...
Under control.
Save us. Damage control.
Also in the science category, not on the list, because that's how I wrote. Falcon 9, the SpaceX rocket... did a launch and landing today. I don't know if anyone watched this.
No.
The landing, I'm looking at it, I'm like, that's backwards film. That's got to be backwards film because the rocket just came right down. It looked like one of those 1950s sci-fi flicks.
Right.
The little rocket.
They don't understand how rockets work.
That's what it looked like. It actually went up and it had a camera attached, so it went upper atmosphere and then came right back down and just landed. It was just the most bizarre little film I've ever seen. I was like, and I'm looking at because it's by the beach and I'm looking at the waves to make sure the waves are going the right way to make sure it's not backwards film. But no.
It's not a boomerang photo on Instagram.
It actually landed. It didn't explode this time.
So wow.
Right. Progress.
They are very happy.
Progress in science.
So, you know, I was looking at my Tom Hop as I do. And 3 years ago, I had asked people who their crush was when they were 13. And I thought that was fun. So I actually asked I didn't share the time hop because I wanted to see what people would say.
Did I say something different last time?
I don't know if you did. I know Wanda said Donny Osmond both times. So
consistent.
But I was trying to think back. So when I was 13, it was like 1983. But I think my crush was probably the kid in Footloose, not Kevin Bacon, but his best friend.
Oh my God, Sean Penn's son.
Yeah.
Or brother. Chris Penn.
Yeah, Chris Penn.
Don't watch Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. No, I know. I have. It's okay. But the other thing, because I remember when I was a young kid, like, I used to pretend that the Brady Bunch was, like, going to sleep over at my house, and I would figure out on the floor where the different sleeping bags would go. Greg could stay over here, and Marcia could go over there.
Marcia.
Yeah, I didn't want her next to me because she was just too pretty. Get him over there. Yeah. So I was just wondering, who were your crushes when you were a young teen? You know, you're in that preteen where you're not like maybe necessarily dating people in your class or whatever.
I was a weird kid. I had a massive crush on Mikhail Baryshnikov through most
of
my
years. No. I had one on him too because of.
I had pictures, pictures in my locker of Mikhail Baryshnikov. But my other crush, and the one that I really, truly loved, was Toshiro Mifune. Because I happened across Seven Samurai when I was like 11 or 12. And it's my favorite film. I've seen it many, many, many times. But I just became fascinated with Toshiro Mifune, and he was like my dream husband. And, I'm not even normally attracted to Japanese men.
I had a little bit of a crush on Bruce Lee, but A, he was shorter than I knew I was going to be. And B, like, all the Americans were horrible people in his movies, and I just know he would look at me and say, you're a horrible being. So that was just not my thing. But I had this complex when I was 13 because I would never fall in love with the lead actor because there was always a leading lady to go with them. And it's just not you don't go after somebody else's man. Besides which, it's like, well, he's got her. Why would he need me? So that's just 13 years old what you do. But I had three older brothers. So the movies that we would watch that they would rent from the video store, because those used to be things mm-hmm. we went to, was always stuff like Chuck Norris's Invasion USA or something like that. So there's always these action flicks. So I'd always fall in love with the best friend. Well, you know what happens to the best friend in every action movie. They always die. Right.
Yeah. Well, that was my problem with Toshiro Mifune because, you know, every film that I found of his was usually the samurai films. Oh. He'd die.
Yeah, so I used to be afraid to date guys because I was just convinced they were going to die. So... But obviously I got over it. Now I'm married to you. So it's all good. So Crystal, please talk about something different quick.
I'm going to show my age. So at the time Titanic was very popular. So it was Leo or Heath Ledger. One of the two. We're going to steal
totally
my heart.
Yeah, especially in 10 Things I Hate About
You. With the long hair and the real badass
look. And the
way
he like squinted a little mm-hmm. and he'd be like, he's without.
Yeah.
Especially like the I love you, baby. And that.
And it never happens in real life, but you wanted to be that person on the bleachers.
Yeah.
With them screaming at you. Even fighting in that old car. I could do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could see that happening. Go ahead, Stern.
Stevie Nicks.
Really?
Yeah. I still like her as she's aged, and I've seen her in concert, and
I can't do the voice.
She's awesome. I love that, and the candles and the scarves. The whole thing. The whole kit and caboodle. And I'm thinking around 13, but then also, like, in the geeky side, it was Linda Carter.
Yeah.
And not just Wonder Woman, but Linda Carter, because my mom would get People Magazine, and she graced the cover of there a few times, and I'd read the stories, and I'd be like, wow, she's fascinating. She can sing. She does all, you know, and she did sing a little bit on Wonder Woman. I've seen some of those, but it's just... And now she's like this beautiful lady, and she sings
still
and
as classy
tours.
As ever.
And, but I'm like, tie me up with that magic glass and make me tell the truth.
Yeah, see,
like a weird kid, man. Because my crushes were all, Who knows who Toshirô Mifune is?
Japanese cinema. But I was that way about books. Like, when we would play in the yard and we, you know, on recess and stuff like that, I was like, I'd read, like, the Five Little Peppers and how they grew and the you know, and all this stuff. And I'd want to, nobody knows what those books are. But good. It's like, good. I would want, you know, when people would pick, oh, let's pick names for ourselves. I'd pick these weird names from the books that I've been reading, like Ida and Lottie and, you know, these really old-fashioned names and Elsa and whatever before the Frozen series. Gosh. And people would be like, what? But anyway.
I just remember, like, I would, so at the time, at 13, I was living up in Ohio, and a lot of my family was in this rural part, Cartersville, Georgia, and Cassville, Georgia, and I would go to visit.
From Savannah.
That's where I was from, but I had family there. So I'd go, this little tiny town, I mean, there was not even a stoplight. It was just like that. And that's where my dad really came from. And I mean, he went to the big city in Atlanta, and it's like, thank God, because his cousin could have been like my family story. It's like his cousin Mac owned Mac's taxidermy, and the shit was out of their home, so it spilled over into every house. But my uncle, my great uncle at the time, was Jack Jolly, and I would go back and tell these stories about Hickville, Cassville, in Toledo, Ohio, and people would just like roll, thinking I was making up all of it. And I'm like, no, the guy's name is Jack Jolly. He really is the nicest human being on the planet. His wife Mildred is absolutely a peach. You know, that's my great aunt. And it's like people would not. And I was like, and then when the taxidermy thing, they were like, oh, come on, there's no way. And I was like, I'm not kidding you. I was right next to like a stuffed ferret. It was right on the, I was sitting on the couch. I turned and the stuff's everywhere. And then the shop's in the back, but you could barely tell where the shop started. And it was like, but they never, people never believed me. And then it was just like, but it was just crazy. Yeah. I don't know how I got off on that tangent.
I don't know.
Tiffany will not be happy.
13-year-old crushes going to stuffed ferrets.
Yeah.
So, no. And then, of course, some of the people were saying stuff, you know, like you expect. Like I was saying Wanda, Donny Osmond, and people were saying Sean Cassidy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then there were some young people. One of the younger persons on my feed actually said Sean Connery. We were having a conversation about that. I think Sean Connery, Hunt for Red October.
Oh boy!
Yeah, Russia House. Mm. He was. That was when he was the sexiest. To me.
When he was sexiest man alive. Frankly.
Yeah. When he was James Bond with that really thick hair. Never. It was too much. I was like, what
is
that?
It was not only too much. It was obviously thinning, and they were trying to beef it up.
Yeah.
So I never found him to be the sexiest James Bond. He was a good James Bond, but I didn't think he was the sexiest James Bond.
There's a scene in Russia House between him and Michelle Pfeiffer, and it's in the trailer, and he's like, and she has her Russian accent. She's like, do I disturb you? And he says, deeply. And I was just like, oh my gosh, please say that in my ear.
There was a time when I was a teenager where if they were drunk and British, they were on my Yes, I Want. So it was like Robert Shaw. And they didn't even have to be alive anymore. You know, Robert Shaw, gosh. Richard Burton, Peter O'Toole. And I watch all the old films because...
Yeah. No, I used that in Hunt for Red October, you know, where it's like with him and Alec Baldwin crawling around in the ship and
Tim
say,
Curry.
There's things in this ship that don't like bullets, you know? And it's just like... But, you know... somebody used to say to me, give me a ping, Vasily. One ping only. Again, that's like, you wanna make out with me? Just whisper like James Earl Jones or Sean Connery or one of those guys in my ear. I'll be like, okay, where are we going? Yeah. But yeah, it's funny because, I mean, I think it says something about you, like who you're attracted to. But my other crush was actually... Dan Connor from Roseanne.
Oh, I always thought John Goodman was cute.
Yeah, but I fell in love with him because he used to do a Crest commercial. And I know, but I didn't know until years later that that was him. But he actually had on like the little plaid Oxford shirt, you know, underneath a tan sweater like we did back in the 70s. Mm. And he was talking about his son. He was talking to his son. He was down on one knee, and he did this thing with the little tube of toothpaste about how much he cared about him. And he just touched the tip of the cap to him, like you know, like you would when you're talking to someone.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, I want him to be the father of my children. And then years later, they were doing like one of those episodes of like before they were famous kind of things mm-hmm. they used to do in the 80s with Dick Clark and stuff like that. And it was him. And I was like, this is why I love you so much on Roseanne. Because Roseanne is a show at the time. She was kind of annoying, but there were scenes where he would like look at her and do things. And I was like, that's, I've always loved the big beefy guy. And then of course my other crush was Grizzly Adams. But, you know. I've always liked the bearded guy with the, which is why I made you grow yours back. I have a type.
I just threw all your razors away, so no, I do have
it. Oh, you ordered some from Amazon? I don't know why that credit card keeps getting declined.
I use them all on my legs.
Okay. Yikes. I'm not that hairy. Anything else, Crystal?
No, I am just enjoying the conversation.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Yeah. And we are looking so forward to partnering with you on the Geek Gala. And it's just going to be a hoot and a half. I know it is. So check out the venue at noahscharlotte.com. Don't try to book it for October 21st because we got it
already booked.
But, you know, in the meantime...
Push the button.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery.
You're welcome.
For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com.
Do it.
Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery. And on Twitter at CLT.
Ooh, Daniel Day-Lewis. But that wasn't a 13-year-old crush because he wasn't even taking notes.
I love Foot. He wasn't doing anything for him. No.
Angela Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury back in Bedknobs and Broomsticks was very hot one.
In Harvey Girls.
The Harvey Girls, yeah.
Mary Poppins, bye.